Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Yo, we're back with another segment of K100 Talks, and we're going to follow up on the Dave Chappelle Netflix controversy with been getting a lot of press lately, and whoever wants to read the article, because I'm not sure what's going on. I've been out of the loop myself.
Okay, so let me just read this. So you like to reiterate what we talked about last week,
right?
Dave Chappelle, who is a comedian, okay, made some jokes about transgenders, and the transgenders were upset, okay, because you know even back in the day when you could make fun of yourself and every other like identity group, no matter what it was, because it was all under the guise of comedy. It's like that's all changed because for some reason people think that other people can't comprehend comedy and they will take everything seriously, right? So last week, so Chappelle made those statements. So of course the outrage mob chimed in and complained, you know, trying to cancel Dave Chappelle. So this is a story. Ted Sarandos, who's the Netflix CEO, all right, doubles down on Dave Chappelle defense. Netflix co-CEO Ted Sarandos sent a lengthy missive to the entire company following the mounting controversy around a new original special from comic Dave Chappelle. After addressing top leadership in a Friday memo, Sarandos sent an email on Monday to all staff, some of whom have increasingly expressed outrage over jokes about the trans community and Chappelle's The Closer, and have scheduled a walkout protest as response. Quote, "We know that a number of you have been left angry, disappointed, and hurt by our decision to put Dave Chappelle's latest special on Netflix," Sarandos wrote in an email obtained by Variety. "With The Closer, isn't that funny, like an email entertained by, like so these people that work there, they're getting company emails they're sending to the press, you know, which is fantastic. "With The Closer, we understand that the concern is not about offensive to some content, but titles which could increase real-world harm, such as further marginalizing already marginalized groups, hate, violence, etc. Last year, we heard similar concerns about 365 Days, I guess that's another show, and violence against women. While some employees disagree, we have a strong, this is the key word, the key sentence, we have a strong belief that content on screen doesn't directly translate to real-world harm," he said. "The strongest evidence to support this is that violence on screens has grown hugely over the last 30 years, especially with first-party shooter games, and yet violent crime has fallen significantly in many countries. Adults can watch violence, assault and abuse, or enjoy shocking stand-up comedy without it causing harm to others," he continued. When contacted by Variety for comment, queer media watchdog GLAAD said it was, quote, founded 36 years ago because media representation has consequences for LGBTQ people. Authentic media stories about LGBTQ lives have been cited as directly responsible for increasing public support for issues like marriage equality. But film and TV have also been filled with stereotypes and misinformation about us for decades, leading to real-world harm, especially for trans people and LGBTQ people of color. Ironically, the documentary Disclosure on Netflix demonstrates this quite clearly. That Sarandos would wade into a debate about the potential harmful effects of content is notable. Given that those who condemn Chappelle's jokes have specifically cited the physical danger that anti-trans ideology poses to that community. What we object to is the harm that content like this does to the trans community, especially trans people of color, and very specifically black trans women. People who look like me aren't being killed. I'm a white woman, wrote out trans Netflix employee Tara Field in a now viral Twitter thread last week. Make no mistake, Chappelle's alleged jokes do not impact hypothetical people. They, in fact, cause real harm to transgender and non-binary viewers and black LGBTQ youth who have once looked up to him as a role model, wrote queer Arthur and attorney Preston Mitchum on Wednesday. Studies, including research from 2016 conducted by the American Association of Pediatrics, back up Sarandos' assertion that specifically around the effects of screen violence. But the trans community has long been desperate to educate the masses over the shocking fatality rate it faces. In 2020, the Human Rights Campaign recorded a record number of violent deaths suffered by trans and gender nonconforming people, the highest rate since the group began tracking these killings in 2013. Dialogues about on-screen violence translating to real-world harm have been going on for decades. Last week, videos of fistfights outside a pop-up store devoted to the brutal record-breaking Netflix series Squid Game went viral. In July, a Wisconsin judge released Anissa Wire, the young woman convicted of stabbing her classmate to death as a tribute to the digital folklore character Slender Man, the subject of a 2018 feature film. In his Monday notes, Sarandos wanted to say that Netflix is working hard to ensure marginalized communities aren't defined by a single story, and said key to the effort is increasing diversity on the content team itself. He also referenced titles like Sex Education, Orange is the New Black, Control Z, and The Stand-Up of Hannah Gadsby's companions to Chappelle's special in the service. Our hope is that you can be hugely inspired by entertaining the world while also living with titles you strongly believe have no place on Netflix. This will not be the last title that causes some of you to wonder if you can still love Netflix. I sincerely hope you can, he concluded. All right. So this is what I want to talk about. All right. Is this weapon that, you know, marginalized groups are using to try to silence people by saying that their words can lead to physical harm. Okay. Now, I would bring this up. I want somebody to cite an example, okay? Because like you could randomly just say that, right? But how do you show me an example and show me and connect the dots? Show me the process that went on here. When Dave Chappelle, when a joke comes out of Dave Chappelle's mouth, okay, and he's talking about transgender people's everything, connect the dots to where a transgender person is physically harmed. Like, show me the example of what happens after a guy says that joke. Because, like, what these people are doing is like, if there's violence in the transgender community, without evidence, they try to circle it back to, like, oh, it might be from what Dave Chappelle said in his comedy routine. And, like, this is another weapon that they're
Glenn,
using.
Go ahead. You know, words have power, you know, and what is not offensive to you might be offensive to somebody else. But I would ask Joe this. Joe, how many trans people are in the United States? Could you look that up, please? What is the population? Because I refuse, I can't fathom how. Well, I kind of think I do know, but I just want to hear the number first. How such a small minority has so much power?
Let me give you the perfect example.
Let me hear what it says.
1.4 million adults identify as transgender in America. This is
out of 330 million people.
1.4 million.
So that's like point.
It's a very low percentage.
It's 1/3 of 1%.
Mm-hmm. Right. Basically. So there must be some transgender people in very powerful positions that are making these decisions for such a small mom minority. Because this is like anything else, bro. You know, I'm still old enough to remember, and I know Glenn is too, that you did not see a black and white couple walking down the street holding hands or showing any sort of fucking affection. You know what I'm saying? And you kind of got ostracized if you were biracial, where now it's really cool. And the same thing, there were a lot of, when I was younger, I saw a lot of people, but, you know, make a lot of inflammatory remarks to homosexuals, and they were very insensitive, were less sensitive. And the same thing You know, they're seeing trans people for the first time. They don't understand them. Some people are ignorant and they say cruel shit. And there's some people that are just saying jokes like Dave Chappelle. I refuse to believe he's transphobic because he's making transphobic jokes, you know. And so I just wanted to throw that out there. I think one day trans people will be so normal in 20 years or whatever it is. This discussion right here will seem ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? When we don't know what's go ahead.
You talking to Joe or me?
Yeah, to either one of you. I mean, because okay. I just think when people first, when they see something new, first thing is to ridicule it, make fun of it. Maybe the more ignorant, you know, make remarks that they shouldn't. But as you get used to living together and seeing, hey, they're like everybody else, bro. They can be lazy or they can be brilliant or they can be this or that. It's just. That's how they go. You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you what's going on here. Because Bill Maher brought this up, and this I think this all intertwines, right?
Right.
The reason the transgender community has a strong voice is because, bro, you have this class of this strong, you know, this strong coalition of white, young to middle-aged male liberals, okay, that are fantastic at being offended for other people.
Right.
And these are the ones that are the ones that are that are arguing. Let me give you a perfect example, okay? Because this is why I want to talk about
this. Where the fuck
did
they come from? I mean,
College educated. They're college educated.
I was going to say college.
This is where the colleges, like, you know, the colleges are teaching. This is what they're teaching them. Victimhood, but, you know, racism. Everybody's, like, you know, marginalized. All this bullshit, right? So the Variety magazine article puts a tweet out, and the tweet basically says, you know, Netflix co-CEO Ted Sarandos is doubling down his defense of Dave Chappelle following the mounting controversy around his latest comedy special. You know, quote, we have a strong belief that content on the screen doesn't directly translate to real world harm, end quote, and post the article. All right. There is literally, okay, on this tweet, where is this? Wrong tweet. There's literally on this tweet 3,900 quote tweets, okay? So this thing kind of got ratioed. There's tons of comments. There's only 7,915. There's not 715 likes. All right. So these are some. I want to read you. This is like how people are responding to this. Okay.
Right. Now, what type of where did you?
What
get
would you? What, you
what,
site?
What site is this from?
This Twitter. Is Variety. This is Twitter. This is the Variety.com. Variety magazine just tweeted this
on Twitter.
Retweets.
And these are the quote tweets. I'm just going to read just. I'm going to go down and just start reading random quotes.
Right.
This is, you know.
To give me an idea.
Okay, let me start here. Props. Well, let me give you a positive one. Props again to Netflix.
By the way, Variety, you're getting the K100 rub. You're welcome. Go ahead.
All right, let me just go somewhere. Okay. This is a very wild and irresponsible opinion for a man behind one of the biggest media companies in the world to have. What a dunce. That strong belief is pure idiocy. Okay, it's another one. Hashtag just say no. Another person, this is a terrifying stance on how media affects people's perception of others. Don't think media affects people? Then what's propaganda? Huh? Then why do you sell airtime for commercials? Let me see. There's some good ones here. I got to find them, though, because there's so many. I hope they run the basement. I hope the basement they run Netflix out of collapses soon. Quote, which is why we also platform.
Who answered this?
Mother.
The fucking
snowflake. These are just random people. This is snowflakes.
It sounds like they sent it to each other and they said, let's all answer at the one time and make them look bad. They're like all snowflake answers or we that old that what's going on here?
Okay, perfect. Here's a perfect tweet. Guy tweets, I feel like the proof that it does should probably outweigh their quote strong belief that it doesn't. Bro, where is the proof that this causes harm? These people live in this world where they think that literally guys like Dave Chappelle telling jokes about the trans community are getting trans people beat up on the streets. And you can't connect those dots and find me any evidence of that.
Right, because he's not because he's not promoting hate or violence. He's saying a joke where you laugh at the end. You know what I'm saying? That's it. And if you're already transphobic to begin with, Dave Chappelle ain't pushing you in that direction anyways.
Right.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Let me give you an example of the First Amendment rights and free speech and how it pertains exactly to this issue right here and how the social media mob is suppressing free speech.
And that's the correct word, mob.
Right. So this is – you can have – you know, you can – you're allowed in this country to say have hate speech, Like, you can talk, you can say black people don't know that you're white people are better. Right. You're allowed to say that. Okay, the consequences, whatever. But what you're not allowed to say is if Dave Chappelle got up on stage and said, man, you know, let me tell you something, these transgenders, if you see a transgender in the street, you should just go whip that guy, whip his ass, whip their ass. That is illegal. You are directly inciting harm to others. Okay, you're telling people go physically harm people. Okay, but when you're telling what this situation is you got Dave Chappelle joking about the trans community. Okay, and the people in the trans community are using the perception that, you know, that is the equivalent to Dave Chappelle telling people to go cause harm to transgender people. Okay, and what
Bro,
this
just,
does
just
is,
a fact. But let me just let say me, this. Let me, Glenn, just a fact, because I'll forget too. Just the fact that they're going after such a great artist pisses me off. This guy's a fucking genius. I haven't seen the special, but I already know it's going to be funny and I'm not going to be insulted. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So this is what it comes across to me as. Okay, and this is a classic example of when I talk about this suppression of free speech and how the social media model tries to do this. This just screams of people that do not like what Dave Chappelle said, and they are trying to silence Dave Chappelle from saying things anymore because they said something that he said something they don't like. And what they're doing is they're using this tool in their toolbox to say, like, you're causing harm, even though you have no evidence that that has happened here in this case. And, like, this is the weaponization of, like, the progressives have weaponized their movement. You know, there's not a lot of substance to the progressive movement. They're coming, you know, they're good at calling people names. They're good at, you know, trying to shut you up. They're good at trying to shut you down, but they're not really good at, like your belief system or things that, like, you should be, like, you know, like here's
yeah,
what I believe.
Why don't you, why don't you inform motherfuckers? You know, why don't tell us again? We're supposed to know all these terms and how you feel. No, we don't fucking know because we're not trans. So explain it to us instead of trying to cancel motherfuckers' careers and shit.
Right, right. And, like, you know, we've said all along, you know.
Plus, like I said one more time, it's humor, man. Come on, it's humor.
And if you can't
distinguish,
like,
right,
like,
you got
like,
a problem much deeper than you're getting your feelings hurt.
Yeah. Well, like a perfect example, right? If, like, you know, if a guy's – if you're at a party in your house and stuff and all that, like, you know, a guy passes out drunk and he's passed out on the floor and somebody goes up and he's trying to, like – the person's checking on him and trying to give him CPR. It's like you got like, well, what are you doing? You know, I mean, well, you don't give that person CPR. You don't even know. It's just like I'm a doctor, right? So it's like, oh, okay, well, go ahead. You go, bro, it's like – when Dave, this is the thing with this is the biggest argument I have with free speech. It's completely common sense, and everybody would agree with this, right? Bro, if you don't like Dave Chappelle's comedy, don't listen to it. That's the way this stuff is supposed to work. If Dave Chappelle's comedy offends you, you have the right not to listen to Dave Chappelle. So these people are like, you know, they're listening to somebody that they know might offend them and acting like they're offended. And it's like if you can't say, like, people can see through this. The funniest thing is you have this progressive class, these white liberals that like to call people's names and everything. They're on the side of the mob. So it's like you just see this throughout, you know, social media, and you see these bad takes, and it's like people like us are looking. It's like, you know, dude, like, you know, we grew up with Howard Stern, who was the king of all media, who had Daniel Carver, the KKK guy, on his show. You know what it's like.
Yeah,
like,
but the thing is like you said, we're in different times, bro.
I know we're in different times.
And the thing is that all these people that they probably grew up with helicopter parents who afforded them like a sense of entitlement, you know, and they're definitely more fragile than other generations. You can see through all the mental health issues that they have, right? And all this snowflakery that we're seeing now. Before, we didn't have trigger warnings, safe spaces, crying rooms. You know, this microaggression crowd feels like anything that accepts their tender sensibilities is out of line. Let me tell you, like you said, we're in different times. I remember how, bro, you couldn't do, for example, I'm going to tell you something. When I was a kid, my dad would slap me in public, bro. People would never say anything. They, you know, they Latin parents would beat their kids ass in public and people look at it and go, yeah, he deserves it. Do that now. Do that now and see what happens. You can't even discipline your own kid.
You'll be on YouTube.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't spank your kid. That's capital. Right. Well, they call the word capital punishment. Capital.
Bro, one time.
It's like some reward. It makes it sound like it's like, you know, terrorism or something.
One time my dad came to pick me up at a police station and beat me up in the police station and the cops did nothing to him. You couldn't do that today. You know, but it was a different upbringing.
You know what's weird about this generation, just real quick, is, yeah, maybe they grew up with helicopter parents and stuff like that, but they grew up on South Park, too. You know, South Park was the shit 15, 20 years ago. This generation grew up with South Park and Grand Theft Auto and, you know, all these violent movies and shit. I don't know when the perception
changed. I don't know if maybe it's like changed, we said, you know? In another show, too, giving them Ritalin and all these other drugs at an early age.
Well, messed them up.
Let me give you a perfect example here. This is you know, you bringing the thing about the kids and like your parents used to, you know, parents used to spank you growing up and something. Like that. Right. And I will profess,
bro. My father, listen to this. You'll pop at this. My father would go to the movies and leave me with the neighbors and saying if he acts up, whoop his fucking ass. He'd co-sign a whooping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
On the Ritalin thing that you said, Conan, did you know that every mass shooter, whether white, black, Asian, Muslim, whatever, because it's been, you know, across the spectrum,
right?
Every one of them has antidepressants or mood stabilizers in their past. Do you know?
I would not be surprised at all, because I was doing a deep dive about them not too long ago, and that was one of the main things, too. Yeah.
Yep.
They all had mental health issues.
Yep. And those that rewires your brain.
Yeah.
Let me give you a perfect example here. This is the divide between people from our generation and the people today. And this is why the people today, it's like there's this conflict between ideology of, like, you know, they think we're terrible people because the things we did back then and stuff like that, and they're virtuous, right? Okay, we grew up in a culture where your parents spanked you spanked you when you did it wrong. No, they whooped your AO, they whooped your ass. So basically, they, like, you know, they put you through stress when you made incorrect decisions, right? So people say, like, oh, my God, how could they do that and everything? And I say, well, look. I go, maybe the way our parents, you know, you look at that and it's not the – if you think about it, you know, whooping your kid's ass and stuff is not the best way to, like, you know, go to do a situation. However, our generation handles mental stress way better than this generation does. Right. You people get upset at, like, the most minor, ridiculous things because you've never been placed under any stress by even your parents. And, like, you run away from stress. You run away from things. Right. And you hide and everything. You can't even confront stress. You can't confront when people say things that you don't like. You know, it's like, and then, like, I'll sit there and say, like, you know, as bad as it may sound, you know, getting whipped when you were a kid and everything helped you learn how to deal
with
stress.
And that's so funny because our parents gave zero fucks about if they hurt our feelings or not. And the parents today don't want to hurt their kids' feelings, and they want to be friends with them. They're not their parents. They're like friends. You know, it's like, no, dude, he needs a mom and a dad, not a motherfucking friend.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just like, I just think when I keep hearing stories like this, I keep seeing people try to pile on guys like Dave Chappelle, and it's like, guys, people like us are just perplexed, going, are you kidding me? You're upset at what a comedian is saying that in 2021? What the F is going on here?
If we start to believe that entertainment influences everything, then that means you're never going to see anything. You can't watch The Sopranos because Tony smacked a girl around a couple times, so now it's going to influence domestic violence, or you can't watch Breaking Bad because you're going to smoke meth or, you know, whatever.
It may get to that. And here's the scary part, Glenn, that as much as you and I agree and think what they're doing is wrong, how many of them agree and think that we're wrong? And I don't know how many but they got power
because they're up. Up and coming, and we're on the way out.
Exactly, and the colleges are indoctrinating, or there's like the universities are teaching more and more people to think like this.
Yeah,
it's really weird. Like that they're teaching people to. It's like we're really
you gotta almost learn to adapt, or you're gonna be ostracized, bro.
We're like literally setting up the future of our country to be the type of country that could easily be invaded, and we would just give up and
conquered.
Surrender.
Yep.
You know, like, it's right. Yeah, seriously, like, right. We're setting ourselves up to be like conquered. We can't deal with stress. We need safe spaces. We surrender in situations, and we're teaching that this is unacceptable. We're teaching it's not good.
We've lost a lot of credibility because we were supposed to be the world leaders, and we couldn't handle the COVID shit right. You know. And militarily, We had to get out of fucking Afghan, and we haven't won any wars.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the deal. We just go to war to make money. We've been, you know, and we've lost a lot of credibility around the world, and it seems like we may be losing more if this bullshit continues, and it looks like it will.
Think about, you know, ancestors, whenever your ancestors came to the States, whatever they went through, whether they were here for the Depression or World War One and Two, or, you know, then you get to Vietnam and stuff, all these different hardships throughout the years and wars. And then you see the way the generations have turned out now. It's pretty crazy. It hasn't been that long. It's only been, you know, 80 years since World War II or whatever.
And if you think, and one last thing, this thing could get so strong if, you know, their side does prevail, that we may have to erase this show one day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you never know.
Through it and really be careful about it. Yeah.
Well, interesting subject that affects all our lives, and we should be very interested in what the ramifications of. I'm sure we'll be speaking about this and another artist in the future once they go after somebody else. Right.
Could be us one day. You never know.
Yeah,
you never know.
Exactly. But thank you once again for listening to K100 Talks. Boom.